Welcome to The Bonfire. I am Morgan, aka Bond Diesel, and this is a podcast about video game news, speculation, rumors, and reviews. This week, I'll be covering Spider-Man 2 and Mario are still great, Pete Hines is leaving Bethesda, everything Dragon Age Dreadwolf, and much more. A few things before we get started. Subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform, and on YouTube, please subscribe to the channel, hit the like button, and comment with your thoughts, questions for next week, or to just say hello. You can also join as a member now if you want to support my content. A special thank you to all of my patrons, including producer-level patron Hassan, supporter-level patrons PK, The Dawn, Cage Nephilim, and Neuronix, as well as viewer-level patron Zinra. If you're interested in supporting this podcast and getting ad-free episodes for as little as $1 a month, please check out patreon.com/bondiesel. Gaming news, let's get into it. As a little precursor, I've been sick the last 3 or 4 days. I don't know how long my voice is going to hold out, so I will do as much of this as I can. But if you see the show kind of suddenly cut to the outro, that's why. So let's see what we can do. This week, I have 9 topics to talk about. First is the Spider-Man 2 release, Sony's first-party game. I believe it's only big one this year. They had a few like exclusives, like Final Fantasy 16 that came out, but this is, I believe, their only really big like full game that's coming out this year, and it seems like it's doing pretty darn good. So it currently has a Metacritic score of 91. And everything I've seen so far about it, the buzz is pretty good. I'm actually surprised the Metacritic's that low. With a lot of the reviews I've heard, I've watched Kinda Funny, checked out SkillUp, as well as his podcast he does with Jake Baldino and Lucy James and The Completionist, Giant Bomb, as well as a few others. It's a pretty universal joy of this game. What's interesting about this game is it kind of reminds me of Tears of the Kingdom a little bit, where it seems like there are a lot of things about it that actually aren't like 9 or 10 out of 10, but it does the smartest thing a game can do, and it's a really fun and good game to play, and that makes any other issues kind of fall into the background and fade away, right? So like with Tears, yeah, maybe the graphics aren't top tier, maybe it doesn't run the best, you know, maybe there's, you know, the voice acting is whatever, all that. It doesn't matter, because when you're playing it, you don't care about any of that stuff. It's so good, you don't care. And Spider-Man 2 seems to be very much the same. It has a bunch of technical stuff that is really impressive. Every single quality mode on PS5 has ray tracing of some type. So whether it's the 30 FPS like quality mode that you play on, or it's a 60 FPS ray tracing mode, it all has ray tracing in some capacity, which definitely makes some things look pretty good. My observation on Spider-Man 2 is that it looks really good in motion. I don't have a PlayStation 5. I haven't played it yet. I may play it in 2 or 3 years when it comes out on PC. We'll see. It looks like the environmental design and the detail and all of that is just crazy. It's the entirety of, I believe, Brooklyn, Manhattan, and another borough. I can't remember which one. And it looks amazing. Like the vistas and the lack of pop-in on graphics, and it looks so good. It's not without any bugs. I've seen some people posting stuff. It doesn't seem like it's that big of a deal. The biggest knock I've seen from reviewers is that the story is fine. I don't get the impression that the story is like blown anyone's mind, and it's not like, you know, that's not what people are there for. My own observations, and I'm really surprised there hasn't been more conversation about it, but like the graphics look fine, and in motion and from a like a blown out point of view, like when Spider-Man's swinging through the sky or flying or fighting, doing a lot of the things that you're supposed to do in the game. It looks great. The animations look smooth. All the blending looks awesome. But the closer you get, especially in cutscenes, I'm genuinely surprised no one's like commented more on how awful it looks up close and in cutscenes. I saw a cutscene from early in the game where MJ and Peter and is it Harvey, I think, are all talking outside of their house. And it just looks really bad. Like, it looks really bad. And it's fine, because that's a tiny little slice of the game that no one really cares about. And then they do have a sequence where, like, Peter's chasing Harvey on a bike, or they're, like, riding together. And that just looks abysmal. It looks so bad. But again, that's this little slice of the game that no one cares about. What people care about is, does it feel good to swing around? Does it feel good to fight? Do we have the fun things where you have Miles Morales and Peter Parker now, and you're switching back and forth between them? You're fighting together in certain missions. You're watching Venom as part of this game. And I don't know the ending, so I can't give any spoilers. I have no idea. But it is cool how they've incorporated. We know that the symbiote Venom gets attached to Peter at some point, and you get to explore those powers and stuff like that. I don't know how it resolves, so I'll leave that to you all who are going to play it to find out, and then I'll watch playthroughs as well. And so it seems like all of that stuff is so good that, you know, the fact that there are still some like repetitive side missions and stuff, the fact that maybe the graphics in like a micro level don't look great, none of that matters. And that's why this game is a 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10 for most people. And that's great. The next game that's expected from these guys is Wolverine. I'm really curious to what they're going to do with that, because Spider-Man and then Spider-Man 2 are these, and then the Miles Morales like giant DLC slash, you know, solo game really kind of did this thing where big, it's all about movement, it's all about that, which they've obviously nailed. Well, you aren't going to do that with Wolverine. And so what's interesting is that the Wolverine game is almost going to require a like changing kind of their whole deal. I imagine it's going to have to be, it'll be a third person game because it's a Sony exclusive. Of course it will be, but it'll have to be like tighter in, right? Like, you, at least I don't think that they're going to do something where you're like traversing on the rooftops of the cities and stuff. Like, I have to imagine this is going to be a more personal, maybe not quite as tight as like a God of War or something perspective, but something more like that. And so what I'm really curious about is that there's rumors Wolverine's supposed to come next year. That just makes like their output just insane. And the reason like Spider-Man 2 probably came so quickly after 1 and Ratchet and Clank is because there's probably shared tech, right? Spider-Man 2 is obviously a sequel to 1. It improves a ton and it does a lot of things a lot better, but it is just a sequel, right? Like, it's not like they started it from scratch. And so I'm really curious, like, if Wolverine is supposed to come next year, maybe it will be a lot more like Spider-Man than we think, because, you know, the only way for that to be technically feasible is for them to borrow at least some of the tech. Now, obviously, you can change a lot about, you know, how close, you know, about the, just the way the game plays. They can obviously switch those things up. But I'll be really curious to how that plays out if Wolverine really comes that soon. I was really hoping that this new model of the PS5 was going to be like a little bit cheaper, because I was excited to potentially buy one. It's one of my biggest beefs with Sony is that they don't do the day and date on PC thing. I know why they do it. It's obvious why they do it. It's because they want to sell consoles. And that's understandable. Their business model is still very dependent and very focused on selling consoles. Totally fair. It's just a bummer for someone like me who really doesn't want to have to buy a PlayStation just for a couple games. But we'll have to wait and see. So congrats to Insomniac. This game seems like it's going to be a huge hit. Even on fairly short notice, I bet it's going to be in the contender list for a lot of game of the years and stuff like that. So bravo to them. And that's really, really cool. Super Mario Brothers Wonder also came out. It has a Metacritic score of 93. Again, if you disagree that this isn't one of the most impressive years of gaming, just purely from a Metacritic score point of view, you're just out of your mind. Like, it's so good. Like, this has been such a wild year, and every single platform has been getting its flowers. Like, literally the only, like, big first party game I can think of that really has gotten dunked on this year was, like, Redfall, and even it's had a tiny redemption story, and Forspoken, and that was like a second party game. It was just like an exclusive. It wasn't actually a Sony studio, so people are giving it more leniency for that. Just a crazy good year. And for Super Mario Brothers being on Nintendo, it's in the twilight of the Switch, this console that's been out forever, that has been outdated since the day it came out, yet has still been an insanely successful platform, and it's just had bangers every year. So, and this appears to be another one, a Metacritic score of 93. It's just one of those things that people, it's Mario, and where maybe a company like Microsoft has had trouble letting its legacy franchises really carry it, like Halo and stuff. Nintendo has no problem with it. They just keep on rolling. And this is just another example. Now, this game, I believe, is kind of a 2D-ish game, which I believe they don't tend to do as well. But it seems like they figured it out and people really liked it. And the only criticisms I've heard are like completely subjective things. Like, some people don't like the music in some of the levels and things like that. But I've not heard anyone levy like big objective concerns about it. Like, oh yeah, this is definitely broken or something wrong. Nope. Seems like people love it, and I don't really have much more to say. I fully intend on getting their next console, and there were some more rumors about that with DLSS and all that this week. I'm not going to cover that because who knows? There has been questioning on whether or not it's going to be backwards compatible, which in 2023 or 2024, when this actually releases, it would be wild for any of the big platforms to release a new console and it not be backwards compatible. But Nintendo, it won't matter. They'll still sell 120 million of them. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But I'm excited for that. And then we did find out who the new voice actor was for Mario. They're a relatively unknown individual who only has a couple credits to their name. But so far, the reception in this game was their first appearance instead of Charles Martinet. I've heard nothing but good things about it. So it seems like people are pretty happy with the performance. They're actually doing Mario and Luigi. And it seems like that's going to be okay moving forward. And they're really young. So I think in theory, they could be there for like 30 years. So we'll see what happens. The next story is Pete Hines is retiring from Bethesda. He was the head of Bethesda for many years. He was with them for 24 years. So if you're around my age, I'm in my mid-30s. Then if you played Bethesda games, he was probably the head honcho there the entire time that you've played any of their games. And it basically just kind of says that, you know, I'm leaving. I want to go explore new opportunities, go, you know, spend time doing the things I want to do. You know, being in the game industry, especially in one of those high level positions, I imagine it doesn't leave a lot of personal time. So it seems like he is going to go do the thing, and I'm happy for him. There was some friction that people believe may have led to him leaving a little bit. And some of the emails that were released during the Activision Bethesda or Activision Blizzard King acquisition by Xbox, some of his emails got put out, and it kind of led people to believe that he was kind of unhappy with how Activision was going to be allowed to keep like Call of Duty multi-platform, while Bethesda was mostly expected to put all of their games on Xbox exclusively. The thing, again, you have to remember is that even after these acquisitions, these companies are still their own businesses. They're just owned. They're under the purview of Microsoft. But like, Bethesda still runs themselves. Like, they obviously take direction, but they are still, you know, they're still worried about their own profits and their own. And from Pete's point of view, he was probably saying, hey, we're ditching the whole platform. That's going to hurt our sales. And you're letting this other new acquisition you're getting do the thing you won't let us do, you know, and that's how it goes. So there's some concerns that maybe he was upset about that and that's why he's leaving. There's also been some rumors and some thought that he's the one who is the reason that Bethesda kind of freezes out some outlets like Kotaku and SkillUp and some others, and that he may be the one who kind of held those grudges, and we may see some of those things relax now that he's gone. But we'll, you know, those things are kind of what they are. You know, no one's perfect. Humans are humans. And you'll rarely find any examples of us who have zero bad things in our closet at all. But overall, I've seen nothing but people saying that he was always very pleasant, very nice, very talkative, very easy to deal with. And obviously, under his tenure, Bethesda did some pretty great stuff and continues to do that. So I hope he does really well for himself, and I hope he doesn't show up with like Bobby Kotick and Tommy Tallarico or whatever, and like a podcast where they talk about how much they hate consumers or something. We'll see. We got a blog this week from EA Motive. This is the dev who did the Dead Space remake, as well as some other like Star Wars Squadrons. And a part of this was an announcement that the Iron Man game that's coming up is going to be on Unreal Engine 5. This blog was posted on the 19th, and it was just kind of like a breakdown of what the studio is up to and what they've been working on ever since Dead Space came out, and which was so good. It came out earlier this year, one of my favorite games of the year. And this is an interesting one. Now, for them specifically, it's interesting. Because it seems like there's multiple studios under EA who are ditching Frostbite to work with Unreal Engine. We already know this game. It's rumored and basically confirmed that the next Mass Effect is doing this as well under BioWare, as well as some other games. And, you know, this is cool. You know, it seems like this Unreal Engine 5, I suspect we're about a year or two away from most games that are coming out being on this engine, because, you know, devs are finally getting a few years with it, and to kind of figure it out and to finally start getting some games out. And, the other side of it that I think is kind of interesting is, that we may see some relationship between Motive and BioWare here, where BioWare's current project, Dragon Age Dreadwolf, is still on Frostbite, as far as we know, and will release on Frostbite, where their next projected game is going to be the next Mass Effect, and it's expected to be Unreal Engine 5. Well, now you have Motive going from Dead Space Remake, which was Frostbite, and they're now moving to Unreal Engine 5 for Iron Man. What's funny about it is that I bet with like the Dead Space Remake looks great, controls great, all of the legacy issues of Frostbite people have had, I didn't notice any of them. I thought that game looked really, really good, and animations looked good, and all of that was great. I bet Dragon Age Dreadwolf comes out and probably looks great, plays great. You know, faces are probably gonna look great. And so all of those things that people downed Frostbite for all these years, I bet we're gonna see them actually look pretty much fixed with the last two games they put out with them. And then we're going to see him move to Unreal Engine 5 and probably deal with some of those growing pains. And so I see it both ways. I've talked to some people who worked on Frostbite when they used to be at EA, and it's kind of a thing where an engine like Unreal Engine 5 is meant, you know, to be a whole package, and for you to take it and modify it to be whatever you want, where Frostbite isn't. Frostbite is much more, it was meant to be the Battlefield engine. And while they've done a lot of work to try to make it work for other genres and games, that's not what it was designed originally for. So it doesn't do it that well. And we've seen the results of that over the years. So exciting story. It does cross over into, you know, some of my own interest a bit. But even an Iron Man game, you know, I swear if I see another person say, oh, well, they should just take Anthem and make it into Iron Man. Just like the ignorance in that statement is fine. You know, I don't expect everyone to know everything, but they just can't do that. That's just not how it works. So stop. Okay. But yeah, so that's exciting stuff. Speaking of BioWare, a Games Radar article popped up this week saying everything we know about Dragon Age Dreadwolf. And I thought I would just kind of recap it as well. Just you know, I am one of the evil people who thinks like, well, I just want them to finish Dragon Age so that I can get my Mass Effect game started. And that is how I feel. But, you know, I am excited and curious about Dreadwolf as well. So from like a release date and platform standpoint, there was a blog last year in 2022 that announced that they had hit the alpha stage. At one point, some people were saying that like the alpha of Inquisition, the previous game, they hit alpha and then the game came out 6 months later. And so at one point there was some chit chat about like, oh man, Dreadwolf could be, you know, in early 2023 if they follow a similar development cycle. Well, we're over a year later now, and that's obviously not true. So right now the proposed release date for Dreadwolf internally is probably like spring of 2024. So we'll have to wait and see what happens there. Not helping this is that, you know, just a couple months ago, we found out that 50 devs had been laid off. There was a whole blog about it on the BioWare blog, which typically their blogs are really good news and exciting stuff. And that was not the case here. They it was quite a bummer. It was quite a bad time for BioWare when just, you know, not long before that, they had announced that Mark Dara, who previously was in leadership at BioWare, had come back to consult on Dragon Age Dreadwolf to help them get that out the door. We also found out that some of the Mass Effect developers who were doing pre-production on the next game were actually brought back over to Dreadwolf to help them wrap that package up and get it out. When it comes to platforms, though, a while back, one of the devs had under their work listing Dragon Age Dreadwolf, stating that it would be on PC, PS5, and the new Xbox consoles. So, and that shouldn't be surprising. I think if that game would have come out like last year, maybe people would have thought maybe it's a cross-gen game, because it probably was developed as one. At least at one point, Dragon Age Dreadwolf has been in development for a very long time. And it wouldn't surprise me if it started as a cross-gen game and then became a current gen game only. So we'll have to see what they do with that. And then the only other bits are, there have been a couple trailers for Dreadwolf. It's been a couple years since we've gotten one, and so we'll have to wait and see what happens with that. There's always people hoping that like maybe at the Game Awards this year they'll do something. I mean, they do need to announce that sooner than later. So we'll just have to see when they actually do it. And I'm hoping maybe we do see something this December. The other bit was that I believe it was last year, there was some game footage leaked that really made the game look like it's going to have a very like God of War 2018 kind of feel to it when it comes to movement and combat and stuff like that, which would be great, because I thought the combat like Inquisition was awful. And it was a big part of the reason I couldn't really get into it. And so there's at least some inclination that this next game may be modernized by trying to take some ideas from some other games and stuff like that. And I think that's okay. We can, you know, we can deal with that. Getting into the easy stuff here, the Xbox Sphere announcement, or advertisement. If you haven't seen it yet, I suggest looking up the Las Vegas Sphere. It's this big building. It's actually a concert venue on the inside, but it's this building that's literally just a giant sphere that has like, I assume, millions of LEDs on it. And they've been using it to do some crazy advertising. Like, it's gigantic. It's very, very, very big. And they'll do stuff like put like an eyeball on it, but it's like high definition, and so it looks super creepy. They've done this big smiley face that, like, I know there's a golf course that butts up against this, and they have it programmed that every now and then it will look down one of the holes, and if you're there hitting, if you're there playing golf, it looks like it's looking right at you. It's super creepy. Well, they put up this big this commercial that Xbox just put out as kind of like a big celebration of probably getting Activision Blizzard King and showing off all of the franchises they own now. And the way that they modified the advertisement for the sphere, it makes it look all like 3D and stuff. It looks really, really cool. I suggest you check it out. That commercial is really interesting because it shows off some of the ABK franchises, I think Bethesda, as well as Xbox. And then it has Cyberpunk in there. which a lot of people may forget, that Xbox had the marketing deal for Cyberpunk, which before it came out was like a huge deal. Like, oh man, you know, this highly anticipated game is, you know, it's under the Xbox umbrella. Like they get to market it. And then it came out and, you know, was kind of a crap show, and it ended up being kind of an L for Xbox a little bit. And now it's doing a lot better. People are loving it a lot more. And I feel like they just aren't quite getting that marketing out there. There were some people who were suggesting that maybe that's a suggestion that they're going to try to acquire CD Projekt Red. I don't think that's impossible. I think that is a attainable studio for them that I think they could probably get through regulation. I don't think that that game holds... or that studio holds such a big market. The big issue there would actually be GOG, their game market. And that I think actually the authorities would have more issues with that than actually CDPR. But I don't think it's any of that stuff. I think they probably just still have that marketing deal in place and they're trying to get something out of it all these years later. We have some Battlefield 2042 news. They have a new season. I believe it's season 6. And they did a free weekend, which saw over 100,000 people playing it on Steam alone. So that's not counting the EA launcher, which is probably a decent number who play on there. And it's not counting PS5 or Series X either. And so, and I believe that game was cross-gen too, so it could even be the old consoles. So that game is, you know, it's a free weekend. Obviously, it's going to have good player numbers. But even after the free weekend was over, through most of this week, it's held a pretty respectable number for its concurrent player base. I mean, I've been saying for a while that, like, I think 2042 is great. Even within 6 months or so of release, they improved it a lot, and I've had a lot of fun with that game ever since it came out. I've been a little distracted the last few months, but I jumped back in recently with the season 6, and it feels really good. So if you're looking for, if you miss old Battlefield, like Battlefield 3, Battlefield 4, and you don't mind some of the newer modern twists they've put on it, it's really good, and you can find it like super cheap in a lot of places. I'm really curious to what that next game is going to look like. Supposedly it's set in a similar time frame, maybe a little bit further in the future. We'll see what that means. I'm not really sure. Because they had a game called 2142 many years ago, and that straight up had like mechs and stuff like that. And so I don't know if they'll try to split the difference or something. We'll have to see. But I'm excited to see. I love Battlefield. I'm to the point where I appreciate Call of Duty, and especially when it comes to Game Pass, I'll play it. I'll fool with it for a minute. But Battlefield's the game I'm way more likely at this point, maybe in my life or just in my play style, to actually stick with and really play a lot of. So I'm excited to see what comes from them. And then we have some new Hellblade Senua's Saga news. It's not really news. It was a big dev blog where they talked about how they're getting the characters and the clothing and all of those things into the engine by using this like 4D scanning technique and stuff like that, where the 3D technique is the character or whoever they were modeling the character after would stand in front of a bunch of cameras. It would take photos all around them and use like telemetry and stuff like that to make a model. Well, now they can do the same thing, except while the person is in motion. And so they can not only capture a really detailed 3D model of the person, but they can capture their gait and the way that they move and just make that stuff look more natural. And they even show the big montage of how they're making like the outfits and they're scanning those in. So instead of scanning someone's face and putting that on a generic gaming model, they're scanning your entire body, including your clothes. And they're going to be able to more accurately show like how the clothes fit on the person's body and how the clothes move when you move. And, you know, clothes, if you ever pay attention in a lot of video games, the clothing is often basically their skin. You see this a lot, especially with older games like the Mass Effect games. You'll know this, that everyone's outfits are skin tight for the most part. And that's because it's easier to just, you know, you don't have to worry about, well, the clothes crinkling and bunching up and stuff if everything is skin tight. So it seems like they've got a lot of really crazy tech going into this game. Sinuous Saga, as well as probably Star Wars Outcast, are the two games I'm the most excited for. Or Outlaws. Oh, my gosh. I can't remember. Outlaws. And at this point, those are the two games I'm looking forward to the most. And we don't have release dates for either. And we still don't have one for Hellblade. But it seems like that's definitely trending for 2024. I suspect that we'll get more on that at the Game Awards this year. Or I bet Microsoft will probably do another some kind of showcase in January. Because that's what they did last year, and it was solid. It was pretty good, where they kind of do the January, here's what's coming this year show, and then in June, they kind of do the big, like, here's everything we're working on. I think that's a pretty good cadence for them, and I'm excited to see what comes from that. For my own news, I have started a new podcast. It's called the Mass Effect Hypecast. It's live right now. You can follow it. Please go do that. I have an intro episode up. It's like 2 minutes, just explaining what it is. I plan on recording the first episode for that here in the next week. And that's going to be just Mass Effect. And it's just going to be talking about stuff in relation to the next game. Obviously, right now, it's mostly going to be speculation and looking back at things that we've, you know, they've already released, or, you know, articles that have already come out. I want to do an episode this month, and then another one next month to just focus on N7 Day. And then from there on, I want to do about one a month. I do want to bring on guests, especially after next month. And so I'll be reaching out to people and trying to get that going. And yeah, I'm excited to try to do something a little more focused again. I like the Bonfire. I like this podcast because it's very generic. We can talk about everything. But I do miss the days of the old EchoCast, where I just talked about The Division every single week. There was something comforting about that, even if it got a bit stale. That's why with the Mass Effect one, at least for now, it's going to be monthly, and I may even skip months. I can't guarantee an episode every month, but I am excited to have an outlet where I can just talk about that, because I can talk about it here, but really only when there's something new to talk about. I can make videos about it, or even just talk about it on stream with everyone who watches. But I think just having one place as a main outlet for my Mass Effect musings will be really great, and I would love if you would go check that out. It's at least on Spotify, iTunes, and it should be, if it isn't already, on every major podcast platform really, really soon. I also am going to stop using the Bonfire Twitter account. It used to be the Division 2 hub or whatever, and that's when it got all of its followers. I then transitioned it into the EchoCast Twitter account, and then the Bonfire, and it just, there's so many crossover follows between that one and my personal account at Bon Diesel, and no one ever interacts with it. No one ever really uses it for any reason, and I think I can be more prolific and use my main account more and just post all my new content there rather than having two places where I'm like retweeting my other account and doing this and that. So I'm not going to shut that account down, but it's probably just going to go dormant. So please follow me on Twitter at Bon Diesel, and yes, I'm going to keep calling it Twitter. I'm one of those people. Okay, listener questions. If you have your own question, be sure to check out my the Google form questionnaire that I have posted on the Discord. Be sure to, you can also check it out on my Twitter. I do post it every week. In my Discord, you can also just post articles whenever you want. I have a whole room just for suggestions. In the YouTube comments, you can post any questions you want me to answer next week, or any topics or things like that. Or you can hit me up on Twitter at Bon Diesel in the DMs. I do have those open. This week, Master Prime sent me a few questions. I picked one to go after because I am losing my voice. I can feel it, you know, happening towards the end of the show here, and that's why it's going to be a bit of a shorter show. Master Prime asked, what do you think of half sequels between main games? So I'm assuming he's talking about like Miles Morales for Spider-Man. What other games have done this? I mean, that's what like Assassin's Creed Mirage was supposed to be, was something kind of like that. I like it. I think it's actually a really good idea. I think if you have a DLC that your idea behind it is too big to just quote unquote be a DLC, but it's not quite big enough to be its own game. I love the idea of putting out like a $40 game that's like 5 to 7 hours of content, maybe has some new extra stuff that builds off of your previous game. And you can probably do that with a smaller team while your larger team goes on to the actual sequel to the game and starts working on that stuff. I mean, I think this is something that this is the type of game that could have really helped like The Division, getting some kind of like middle game with that, you know, and that, because that's obviously not Heartland, and you know, we just haven't seen that yet. I always thought with The Division, a little half sequel that was like completely single player focused, that would tell like a really clear narrative and not be a big looter shooter, but instead would be a very focused story, would have been so cool to get. But I don't think that's really in the cards. I think that's awesome. I think it's really, really cool. I think it's really, really smart because it allows anytime a game dev can recycle work they've already done, it's a good thing. It just gets them more money for their effort. And I think, you know, like if you look at the Miles Morales game that came out after the first Spider-Man game, it's a perfect example of that. And it's kind of a way for them to test things for the next sequel. And you'll see that as well. It's pretty cool. So it's a great question. Thank you so much, Master Prime. Again, if you have your own questions, use one of the previously mentioned ways to get them to me, and I will be happy to answer next week. And that's where I'm going to wrap this thing up before I lose my voice completely. Thank you so much for listening. I'm so happy that you checked this show out, that you take your time. I really, really appreciate it. If you have any feedback or comments or whatever, please let me know. Please review the show on iTunes and Spotify. That helps the show get noticed. I have a really good score on both and a good number of ratings, but the more the better. So please do that. You can find me all over the internet as Bon Diesel on all the social media accounts. You can also find me on Twitch as Bon Diesel, where when I'm not sick, I stream a few times a week, and I multi-stream. So you can catch me on YouTube or over on Twitch. If you want to support my content, please check out patreon.com/bondiesel. You can subscribe over at Twitch. You can become a member on YouTube, or you can check out some merch I have down in the description. There's a link for Linktree, and you can find a merch link in there where I think I have very reasonably priced merch. And that money does go to me and helps me continue to do this content and spend time doing this stuff. And with that, that's all I have for this week. So until next time.